God has created each one of us for community. You will never achieve the purposes and the plans that God has for your life if you try to do it alone. It takes all of us together. It takes the family of God. It takes faith-filled people encouraging each other, praying for each other, blessing each other along the journey of life to accomplish the things that God has certainly called us to do. But we live in a time where people are more isolated than they have ever been before. In fact, Forbes magazine came out with a statistic just recently that found that the number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since 1985. Isn't it interesting that we live in the age of communication? We have the internet, we have phones, we have social media, we have a plethora of ways to communicate, and yet people are more alone and isolated today than at any other time in American history. Wow. But see, God has created us for community. God never created us to be robots, to be isolated, to be just with ourselves. God's created us to be connected to others. And this morning, I want to look at the subject matter of faith from a little different angle. Now, if you've been here over the last few weeks, you know that we've been walking through verse by verse through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is the great listing of all of the faith-filled people of the Old Testament. And we've looked at these great individuals. This morning, I want to do something different. I want to look at faith from another vantage point. That is faith from the community, faith from the group, faith from the whole, not just from the individual. And if you turn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28 to 31, the scripture says, "By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on a dry land. And when the Egyptians tried to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and did not perish with those who disobeyed." And so we see three examples in Hebrews chapter 11 of the community, of the Israelites. The Israelites represent this grouping of people who have great faith in God. They had faith in God at the Passover when they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. They had faith in God when God split the Red Sea open and they walked across. And then when Pharaoh's army tried to follow them, the waters came crashing down. And they had faith in God when they marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls fell down. There's the power of everybody. The title of the message today is "The Power of Everybody," because listen, when the people of God begin marching in formation and we begin doing what God has called us to do, and we begin to do it in unison, great results become a reality. Great results. What can we do together? What can we do for this community? What can we do as a local church? What could we do as a group of faith-filled people? What could we do together that we could not do alone? Now, at the walls of Jericho, it would have been foolish for one soldier, one Israelite, to try to take down the walls of Jericho. The city of Jericho, one of the most fortified places in the ancient world. In fact, archaeologists have actually discovered the ancient city of Jericho, and they've learned that there were actually two sets of walls. There was an outer wall that was a little bit smaller, and there was an inner wall that was massive and huge. This city was protected. And remember, in biblical times, your city was only as strong as it was fortified. The walls were everything for protection. And God started the conquest of Canaan with the big city of Jericho. And when the Israelites saw the city, they recognized that there was something that they could not do by themselves, right? Have you ever faced a wall? Have you ever looked at a challenge that was before you and thought, "I cannot do this by myself"? If God's intervention does not take place, this is not going to happen. And sometimes when you're just so overwhelmed by the task that's before you, it makes you look up to God, doesn't it? Those are great moments. Those are great moments when you're looking around and you're like, "I cannot do this." Lord, only with your strength and with your help. It was that kind of experience that the Israelites had as they looked at this massive fortified city called Jericho. And it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, if you looked at Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, we find the Old Testament story that gives the explicit details that Hebrews chapter 11 is referencing. And it says in verse 1 of Joshua 6, "Now Jericho was strongly fortified because the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its fighting men over to you. March around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time and do this for 6 days. And then we know on the seventh day they did it 7 times. But the city of Jericho was a catastrophic. It was a huge place. It was a massive place. And I want us to see 3 things that happen by everybody in this experience at Jericho. And the first is simply this. Everybody worshiped. Everybody worshiped. God wants all of us to be worshipers. There really is a great power, a great strength that comes in the presence of God when people are worshiping together. There's something about the family, right? Now, I love internet church, and I love online this, and I love television, and I love all that, but there's something about just the family of God being together in the room, right? Just being here and worshiping in the presence of God corporately. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself together as some are in the habit of doing. See, there were people in the first century that were skipping church. And the Hebrews writer says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as some are in the habit of doing, but spur one another on to love and good deeds. And when the family of God is together, guess what we do? We encourage each other to love and good deeds. We spur one another on. So worship and gathering to corporately lift up the name of Jesus is a critical part of our spiritual experience. Now we're going to see, first of all, that before Joshua, the general of Israel, before he leads the people into battle at Jericho, he has an encounter with God. And I want to submit to you today, before you do battle, you have to get with God. You have to get alone with God. We're going to see that the people of God are worshiping at the Battle of Jericho. But before that happened, Joshua had to get alone with God. And if you look in chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 13 and 14 of the book of Joshua, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in hand. And Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And neither, he replied, "I have now come as the commander of the Lord's army." And then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground and worshiped. And he asked him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals for your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did that. And scholars tell us that this was an experience that Joshua had with the pre-incarnate Christ. Remember, Jesus always was. Jesus was not just born in a manger 2,000 years ago. He was there at the creation of the world. He has been there from the very beginning. And here, through an angelic experience, Joshua worships Jesus here before he goes into battle. You see, you cannot lead others to do what you haven't done personally. Joshua could never accomplish this spiritual task that God had put before him until he got alone in worship. And when we get alone in worship, we begin to pave the way for God to do his greatest works. Every day we have to get on our knees and cry out to God. We have to battle in the Spirit. I know that I'm not battling in the Spirit and in prayer enough when people start to get on my nerves. Have you ever felt that way before? You're like, "You guys are driving me crazy." Oh, I need to pray. I need to get with the Lord, right, before I strangle somebody. I need to get with the Lord. So Joshua has this encounter with the Lord. He prepares the people and gives instruction to the people. And if you look in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says this: early on the seventh day, as they started at dawn and marched around the city seven times in the same way, that was the only day they marched around the city seven times. And after the seventh time, the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the troops, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And so the troops shouted, and the trumpets sounded, and when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the troops gave a shout, and the walls collapsed. Wow. So they did one lap for 6 days, and then they did seven laps on the seventh day. Why did they do that? I don't know. It's just what God said to do, right? You know, sometimes you will be marching in circles, asking yourself, "What now, why am I doing this?" The only explanation is, that's what God said to do, right? There's a moment where we have to leave logic and intuition behind, and we have to go with what God has said. So God's instruction was, look silly, all right? Look foolish, march around in a circle, feel like you're accomplishing nothing. Can you imagine what the people of Jericho thought about the Israelites? What are those silly, foolish people doing, marching around like idiots all day long? And little did they know that God was about to do something amazing. So they're marching and they're marching and they're marching. But I don't want you to miss this. They shouted to God. And when they shouted to God, that's when the walls fell down. That's when the walls went flat. Shouting to God is a form of worship. It's a part of worship. We worship God in so many different ways, but to shout to God is to give God praise. It is to give God adoration. It is to give God attention for the great things that He's about to do. And we ought to be a shouting people. Now, I'm not talking about being weird or being strange, but I mean, there's a moment in time when God's doing something in our lives, or maybe we're even here in corporate worship and you hear something in the message or a song and you want to just shout to God a word of praise. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's part of the worship experience that we have. And the people shouted to God. All throughout the Old Testament, the Bible talks about shouting to God, worshiping God through a shout. If you're at a football game and your favorite team scores a touchdown and you sit there like this, something's wrong with you, right? People start shouting. But why is it when people come to church and a touchdown is scored, people sit there like this? I mean, come on, people. Do we have a pulse, right? Do we have some spiritual vitality? Is there something in your spirit that just rises up and says, amen to God for what He has done? We ought to be a shouting people. We need to shout to God. And listen, when we shout to God corporately, that's when the walls fall down. It was all of the people shouting together that brought down the enemy. Amen? It brought it down. There's something about corporate spiritual focus, worship, intensity, when everybody is moving together, that accomplishes great, great things. Don't miss this. It was an act of faith, but it was an act of worship. And we worship God in music. I mean, that's one of the ways we worship. How many of you know this? When you hear a great song, like we just heard several of them a moment ago, music lifts your spirit and your soul, doesn't it? Have you ever been having a bad day and you heard a song like maybe one of the ones we just sang and it just took your, you were just like, oh, right? Did you know the Judeo-Christian tradition is the only religious tradition in the world that has music? Did you know that? Islam does not have music. The Hindus don't have music. Buddhism doesn't have music. That is a Judeo-Christian expression of worship. I believe it's because we have a song that others do not. Amen? We have a song. And we worship God in the song. There's something about the artistic. Song is funny because, like, the words can be constructed and said in a clever way, and it just connects with you in a different way. Have you ever felt that before? It's awesome. We connect with God in the preaching of God's word. You know, when we open up and we read the Bible and we talk about the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God gives us instruction. It gives us inspiration. Have you ever come to church and you're just like, man, I'm so discouraged and I'm so frustrated, I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden you come in and the message was like exactly what you needed to hear for that day, right? And that's inspiration. Sometimes there's even correction that's involved in the message. And we need inspiration, correction, we need instruction, we need all of that. And there's a power when the people of God get together and we open up the Word and we talk and we study and we worship and we pray. One of the reasons we love to pray at Edge Church is because prayer is a great expression of worship. And in the next few weeks, we're adding a prayer team here at our church that's going to pray at the altar for people who have needs or requests. And if you have a need and you're here at church, and we'll give you a little bit more instruction about this in the coming weeks, but we're going to have a prayer team here at the front that's going to pray for you because we love to pray. And there's something spiritual that happens when people get in agreement in prayer, right? When it's not just me praying, that's good, but when it's you praying and somebody else praying and maybe somebody else praying and we're all in agreement together and we're calling on the name of Jesus and we're calling on the power of God to do something awesome in our lives, and that's part of worship. And we need each other. We need each other in worship. We need each other in prayer. We need to shout to God corporately. That's part of the worship. That's a huge part of it. Everybody worships. Now, also check this out. At the Battle of Jericho, everybody's marching. That's the formation. Look at this right here in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. So the Israelites are marching. Marching is taking the first step. Too many people today say that they have faith, but they don't march. When you really believe God, you will begin to move. So God has said, march. Israelites, march. You got to take the first step. God is waiting on the Israelites to march before he brings the victory. Do you see it? What does God ask you to do that you're not marching? We got to march. And marching is a corporate thing. I was talking to one of our guys in the Army recently, and he said the first thing you learn at basic training is how to march. And they won't let you be a soldier if you can't march well, right? You got to learn the commands, you know. They got like 27 different commands, left, right, left, and they got different cadences, you know, and speeds. And I was never even in the Boy Scouts, so I know nothing about military, so I won't elaborate on that. I think you feel me. I think you know what I'm saying, but an army would be kind of handicapped, right, if it wasn't a marching army, right? And marching brings unity, okay? Everybody's in step together. It's not just meandering, you know, one dude's over here and somebody else is over there and whatever. I mean, what kind of army would that be if everybody was strolling, you know? What would that be? It brings strength, right? I mean, you look bad when you're walking down the street and everybody's like, boom, 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 boom. You got thousands of soldiers. Everybody's like, whoa. So there's unity, there's strength, there is communication, the calls that are being given to turn and the formations, and every soldier has a place to march, right? Everybody has a place to march. You know, in this story, there's all kinds of different characters, but everybody's marching to the drumbeat of God. Joshua's the general. He's giving the instruction. Rahab is the prostitute. She's the one hiding the spies. Now, how in the world could you put a shady prostitute and a righteous prophet in the same story working together? That's the book of Joshua. That's the story of Jericho. So God uses different people that get in line with the cadence of God in order to accomplish spiritual task. So we've got Joshua, we've got Rahab, we have the priest, and the priests are the ones carrying the trumpets. They're going to blast them when the shout to God is given. And then you have more priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. So the presence of God is literally circling the city of Jericho. And then you got the soldiers, and they're the ones that are marching. And everybody has a role, but everybody's doing what God has orchestrated for them to do. Everybody's in formation. That's when great spiritual things happen. When everybody gets on beat. When everybody is moving the same direction. And listen, as your pastor, I'm asking you today to join me in marching for God. God has called us to be a marching church. How do I march at Edge Church? You serve in the ministry here at Edge Church. You march. You march. You give. You bring tithes and offerings. You march. You bring friends to Edge Church. You march. You march, right? You do whatever the congregation needs. You pray. You worship. Whatever it is, you march. And listen, when everybody is marching together, that's when victory is right around the corner. But you can't have an army that has multiple marching patterns that expects to be victorious, right? That's like having a football team where everybody is running their own play, right? That's chaos, isn't it? People running into each other, you know? You get hurt by your own guys. We got to get under the authority and the cadence of God. Worship, man. Worship. Everybody is worshiping. Everybody is marching. And notice when Joshua gave the command, no one complains, right? I mean, you know that somebody had to think. Now, this is a little awkward, Joshua. We're going to march in the circles, and then the walls are going to fall down. Okay, all right. Nobody's whining. What would your office be like if no one was a whiner? What would your family be like if nobody was bickering? What would the church be like if no one was complaining? And I believe this, when people are busy marching, they don't have time to complain. It's true. The biggest complainers in the church are the people that march the least. So when we're marching, we don't have time to complain because we're focused on the task that God has put before us. Marching. 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 It brings strength. It brings discipline. It directs us. It directs us. Friday night we had the student ministry scavenger hunt, and we had teenagers like going all over town. They were taking pictures and posting them on Instagram for points, and we had a whole point system put together, and it was really a lot of fun. It was like one of the best things we've ever done for the kids. And they brought me the sheet. They said, "Pastor, look over this. This is the point system," and I just kind of get into this kind of stuff, you know, and I was trying to take a break from working on my sermon. I was like, "Oh, yeah, let's talk about it." So they showed me the sheet, and it said one point up to 5 points for each hostage that is brought back to the church. And they said, "Pastor, what are the hostages?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm not really sure what," and I read the context of it. And I think it was the word hashtags, but it got changed by the autocorrector, right? Autocorrector will get you in trouble, amen? I was like, we're the hostage-taking church. But then I thought, no, that would be actually kind of cool. We're going to give bonus points to each kid that can bring a hostage to church. And I thought, nobody's going to do that. We had one of our middle school boy groups that got back kind of late. I was like, "Man, what is wrong with you guys? Everybody's been back 30 minutes." They're like, "Oh, we brought a hostage." All of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh my goodness! I hope we didn't do anything illegal. I hope this person's not like a psycho kind of person." They're like, "No, Pastor, we had him driving his car, and he followed us." And I was like, "Okay, good," because I was just joking about the hostages. But this senior in high school, one of the local high schools, showed up, had pizza with us, and all of our guys invited him to church and all that. And the guy came to church on Friday night. How weird is that? How crazy is that? Guy didn't even know, and he didn't even know who we were or whatever we were doing or whatever. He was a hostage. That team got 15 bonus points for the hostage. And I was thinking to myself, if our middle school boys can bring a total stranger to eat pizza at Edge Church on a Friday night, could we not bring our friends to Edge Church? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they bribed this guy or what they told him or what they promised him, but he was here. Could we not bring the neighbors next door? Could we not bring some of our friends? Could the people that God's putting in our life, could we not bring them? And our fall kickoff is in 2 weeks from today. And I'm starting a series called Miracles, Everybody Needs One. It's going to be one of the greatest message series that we've ever had here at Edge Church. And listen, we need to fill this place up with guests. And I want you to take the cards you're going to be handed at the door, and I want you to march this week and next week, and I want you to bring as many hostages as you can. Because we're all marching together. Now listen, when that happens, what happens? Spiritual results happen, right? Walls come down in people's lives, right? Addictions are broken. Marriages are saved. Souls are redeemed. Good stuff. Stuff that Edge Church is all about. But it happens when we're all marching and we're all believing. Now don't miss this. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Everybody is believing. Okay, so if you march but you don't believe, then the walls won't come down. The walls came down because people were marching and believing. Do you see it? Marching and believing. You have to believe and you have to march. And believing is the whole key to this whole passage. Everybody believes. Now, what would it be like if everybody was believing that your husband was going to commit his life to Jesus Christ? What would that be like? What would your experience be like if everyone was believing that you were going to be healed? What would it be like if everyone was believing that our church was going to grow? What if everyone was believing that the volunteers that we are looking for in every ministry in our church, because it's growing, if every leader was believing that God's going to provide for our every need, what would begin to happen? We have to believe. And listen, when you have faith, you encourage me. And I hope that when I'm full of faith, I can pour out a little bit on you and lift you up a little bit. Amen? Right? Sometimes I might need to borrow a little bit of your faith. There might be some weekends you need to borrow a little bit of my faith. And that's why we're a family. That's why we're a church. That's why we're marching together. We're believing God together. Together. Everybody believes. Now, it's encouraging, right? Now, I know that it was hard to march 7 times the last day around the city of Jericho. But you know what? If everybody's doing it with you, it's not so bad, right? It's when you're trying to do it all alone. And some of us today are overwhelmed with discouragement because you've been trying to march and you've been trying to believe all by yourself and you don't have anybody with you. That's what the local church is about. That's why you need to come and join a home group. A connect group here on Sunday nights. That's why you need to join the men's or the women's group. That's why you need to be at church every weekend so you can be in relationship with people that are believing God for great things in your life. Everybody believes. Everybody marches. Everybody is believing. Everybody is worshiping. That's the way it works. Faith will tell you to have patience when everything in you is telling you to panic. Faith will tell you to hold on when everything else is telling you to let go. Faith will tell you to push forward when everything in you says, I gotta pull back. We need faith. And when you have corporate faith, it's like exponential faith. My little boy is a fifth grader and he's learning pre-algebra and he's been learning exponents. Do you guys remember that in school? Like to the second or the third power? Do you guys remember that? Some of you are confused, okay? Maybe you didn't do so well in school, but it's like, It's 5 to the second power, right? 5 to the 14th power. I want to submit to you today, when you have a corporate community of faith, you have faith to the exponent. You've got faith times three, faith times four. I got my group. I got my brothers and sisters at church standing with me, and I got faith to the next level. It's not just five. It's like five times five times five times five times five, because I got the family of God standing with me. And we need our faith, don't we? There is strength in numbers when it comes to faith. There really is. When you just see people standing with you and believing with you, and if you're thinking today, well, man, I just wish people would pray more for me, let me give you a little word. If you'll pray for other people, then other people will want to pray for you. Do you know that? It's kind of easy to stand around and go, man, I just need some help, and I'm going through a hard time, and no one understands, and everybody needs to help me. And I understand we all have needs. If you'll be a servant, if you will pray for other people will want to pray for you. So if people are not blessing you enough, you go bless somebody else and then see what happens. Amen? And if that doesn't work, you just keep blessing and blessing and blessing. And pretty soon you'll have a little posse of people that are believing God for miracles in your life. This is the story of Jericho. Everybody's marching. Everybody's believing. Everybody's believing. Now, when everybody marches and everybody believes, then guess what happens? Everybody wins. Guess what? The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, win. The local church, win. Your friends, win. Your family, W. You, W. We all win when we're marching, worshiping, and believing God together. Come on, let's put our hands together, church. We got a great God. We got a great God. Everybody wins. And everybody wins because God is the one who fights the battles of our lives. Did you know that? See, you're not fighting that battle by yourself. You got the Lord. It was the Lord that pushed down the walls at Jericho. It was not an accidental earthquake that happened. It was the Lord. The Lord brought down the walls. The Lord. You got the Lord. You got your church family. You got your friends in the body of Christ that are standing with you in agreement. Oh my goodness. If we only realize the spiritual resources that are right before us. Wow. And this morning, we're believing and praying that every wall in your life is going to fall. And when that happens, everybody wins. Let's bow together for a word of prayer for just a moment.